What have you for me today, Lord? What have you for me today? It's here at your feet I want to be. What have you for me today?
You're listening to The Sons Are Free. The topic today is to tithe or not to tithe, the search for truth. Part 4. In the previous episode, we examined Abraham's tenth to Melchizedek when they met in King's Valley after rescuing his nephew Lot from the king of Elam. What follows are two more objections from hirelings who can't seem to fathom the consequences of teaching the law, nor can be bothered with context. The God changes not objection. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? Galatians 4, verse 21. An objection made the statement, God changes not. While it is true God does not change, He has changed the covenants through which He reconciles us to Himself. Thus, it is a poor argument to use on behalf of the tithe. If God changes not, is valid reason to keep one part of the law, the tithe, then it is valid reason to keep all of the law. At least, that's the gist of Galatians 5:3, wherein Paul wrote, "Every man who accepts circumcision is obligated to keep the whole law." So let's consider the uproarious implications of believers upholding the entirety of the law of Moses. Burnt offerings and sacrifices on the altar of every church. Come to our Sunday morning worship service and barbecue. Every church with its own grain silo, wine press, pasture, and barn for the livestock people will be bringing. We'll need much bigger offering plates. Oh, and the joys we'll have practicing ceremonial cleanliness. Women instructed to stay home from church 1 week per month. Pastors inspecting rashes and teens staying home from church and school because of a zit outbreak. Infectious skin diseases are a serious matter, you know. Undertakers, poor undertakers. Every time they touch a deceased person, they are unclean for a week. If business is brisk, don't expect to see the undertaker in church again. Yes, sirree, Lord, we want to go back to the law. Not. The receiving a living from preaching the gospel argument. A pastor wrote to challenge me with 1 Corinthians 9:14. I don't know which version he was using. Rather, his belief was that the scripture entitled him to earn a living for preaching the gospel. In fact, he expressed the hope of gathering 10 families to himself, where if each of them gave him 10%, he'd earn a full-time living from preaching the gospel. Like many people today, he believed the phrase earn a living means to collect a salary and paycheck. What follows is my response. Pastor, since you asked me to address 1 Corinthians 9:14, I offer my comments in context of the whole chapter, together with a culturally honest understanding of how the apostles lived. Verse 4, the context is food and drink. Verse 7, the context is food and drink. Verse 9, the context is food. Verse 10, the context is food, as in grain from the harvest. Verse 11, The context is food from the seed and harvest. Verse 13, the context is the food, meat and grain, fruit and drink, offered on the altar. And so in context, Paul is talking about food and drink, sustenance. If Paul, who was imprisoned, beaten, stoned, and ultimately beheaded for the gospel, sought nothing more for himself than food and drink, how is it that modern pastors expect to extract a full-time salary for conducting services on a Sunday morning and Wednesday evening? Especially in light of 1 Corinthians 9, verse 15, where Paul expresses pride that he did not use his rights to compensation. In verses 17 to 27, Paul makes clear that he wants to offer the gospel completely free of charge, so that the gospel is not hindered. Paul wants his reward to be in heaven. About following Paul's example? He wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Imitate me, just as I imitate Christ." The Lord gave me new insight into the real, literal meaning of 1 Corinthians 9:14. The King James reads, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." The NIV reads, "In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." Based on the Strong's literal Bible translation below, neither translation captures the real meaning. The gist of 1 Corinthians 9:14, according to Strong's Greek, is, "Practice what you preach." Strong's King James Version reads, "So also the Lord ordained those of the good news announcing of the good news to live." In other words, if you preach set the captives free, then set them free. Don't tie them up with religion and doctrine. If you preach share what you have with the poor, then share with the poor. If you preach abstain from sexual immorality, then abstain from sexual immorality. Strong's dictionary says the Greek word zao is a verb and it means to live. However, when it's translated receive their living from the gospel, to live, a verb, is turned into the noun a living. That is an error in the translation, likely influenced by the institutional church mentality of the translators who have buildings to pay for and the salaries of pastor and staff. Our culture's understanding of making a living simply doesn't fit the context of the scripture. Jesus sent out the apostles in Matthew 10 and Luke 10 with nothing more than the clothes on their backs and sandals on their feet, and told them to expect nothing more than a meal and a place to sleep. The word announcing is also key. To announce means, as I understand Paul's use of the word, the first to proclaim the gospel in a new territory or to a people who have never heard it before. The closest we have to that today are foreign missionaries. There really are very few in Western culture who announce the gospel. There are many who repeat the gospel in church buildings over and over and over again to people who long ago heard the gospel announced. Thereafter, the gospel should be put into practice by the people who have heard and received the gospel, wherein they become a disciple of Jesus, who teaches us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. See 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for announcing the gospel, Jesus instructed his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. It's obvious Paul abided by Jesus' command, where in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul sought only a meal and shelter. So how is it pastors expect a full-time salary for repeating the gospel? About practicing what you preach, would you be surprised to learn that the Greek word for preach also means to show? In other words, live the gospel. Demonstrate the gospel. Don't just pay it lip service. In the next episode, we'll take a look at the scribes and Pharisees who gave a tenth of their spices and the suburbs of the Levites, and whether it was enough land to grow their own food and tithe from it. The transcript for this episode is found at rss.com, home of the Sons Are Free podcast. It includes all scriptures cited in the episode. The transcript can also be found on the blog at thesonsarefree.com. That's all for today, friends. Remember, Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, stand firm and let no one put you under the yoke of slavery again. Thank you for listening to The Sons Are Free. I'm Jack Helser. Until next time.